So this is kind of a Christmas sermon in the same way that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It's set during Christmas and it has Christmassy things, but it's not entirely about Christmas. And the reason why, so we're doing the four laws of communication, is because we're all, you know, imprisoned with our families. Maybe imprisoned is too strong. But we're all spending a lot of time, husbands, wives, kids, children, together. And how we speak to each other makes a very big difference to how well things are going. So this is slow tongue, quick ears. This is law number two. Remember, the first law was speak the truth in love. So the first law is about speaking. The second law is about not speaking. Because there are so many ways that we can hurt people by what we say. No more so when we are pushed to the limit, we're angry, things aren't going well. In my favorite movie, this is around Christmas, so you get to hear everything from It's a Wonderful Life. If you've never seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life, go and watch it. It's one of the greatest movies of all time. George Bailey is having a terrible day. And he walks into his house, and this happens to some of us. He walks into his house, and he's kind of looking for a fight. He's looking for someone to blame. He is grumpy, and he kind of wants everyone else to be grumpy. Before long, he yells at his wife. He yells at his little child, who's just practicing her song for Christmas. And it's a terrible moment. You just feel so awful watching it happen. And yet, this is the exact kind of, like, I have done this very thing. I've come home and I've been miserable, and I've just sort of wanted other people to be miserable too. And I just sort of, I generally don't complain directly to my wife. I generally just act grumpy. And then just sort of waiting for a fight to start. And that's a terrible thing. I don't know where I was going with this. Okay. Confession time done. So, I'm doing this series to help us to avoid fights. And in this one, to have a slow tongue and quick ears. This is mostly about learning to listen. And the inherent problem with preaching a sermon about needing to listen is the people who most need to hear it are the least likely to be paying attention. So, yeah, I don't know how to conquer that one. That's a callback. All right, we're going to be learning from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Whew. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So, this verse here. We should start out by seeing that there are these three commands: quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But he's leading towards this point. The anger of a man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Now, I kind of know. I come home and I'm just being grumpy and angry that this is not going to make things right. And yes, so often I do it. I think the anger is going to produce righteousness. I come home and I'm just sort of like, I want to grumpy with my kids. Like, and I yell at my kids thinking if I yell at them, they're going to be better. Yet, the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. I'm kind of frustrated with how my wife is acting, and I'm thinking, boy, if only I could do this, and yet, the anger does not produce the righteousness that God requires. As a preacher, you know, you can get You get angry at your congregation. Not so much. You guys just gave me a Christmas present. Thank you very much. But as a preacher, you think, oh, I'm going to rail against this. And you know, sometimes there's preachers who are like that, be like they're always angry at everything. And yet the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. You see people on the news, protesters on the street, shouting and angry. And yet, we should know that the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Anger does not make others righteous. In fact, we see this most of all, I think, with God himself. Now, God is righteously angry. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, he walked into the temple, saw them treating his house like Walmart. Maybe not like Walmart, but like Walmart for us today. He saw them treating it like a place of business. He got angry. He flipped over tables. And it was all justified. It was all right. He didn't do anything wrong. And yet even God bringing his judgment does not produce righteousness. The only thing that produces righteousness is sending his son on Christmas to die for the sins of the world so that we, by receiving the Holy Spirit, could put sin to death and live by righteousness. The grace of God produces righteousness, not his wrath. Anger does not make us righteous. And James, what he's probably getting at most of all, is that we can get into a frame of mind that righteousness is condemning evil. You're like, God, I'm going to say all this bad stuff in the world, and I'm going to shout about it how bad it is. Yet this does not make one righteous. It is not the righteousness that God requires. Maybe it can make us look a little better on the outside, but instead, we must receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. James, in his book, in his letter, often focuses on what we need to do. So don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And yet, you cannot do until you receive. It says, receive the implanted word. And we're going to talk about all of these things that we do in this sermon. But before we know that, we need to know with crystal clarity that you cannot be saved by merely being a very good listener. Although it helps because we need to listen to the word to receive it. You cannot be saved by anger. Obviously, anger does not produce the righteousness that God requires. But you also can't be saved by being a monk in the mountains of Tibet. At peace with the world. Everything is awesome. You can't be saved by that either. You cannot be saved by taking a vow of silence to prevent you from saying any angry word ever. You can only be saved by receiving the implanted word as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died, made atonement for your sins, and so by receiving this word, it can be implanted in you. And that's like a seed in you, and it grows to produce the fruit of righteousness so that we can put away with anger. Put away anger and start to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. So, when we've received this word of the gospel, when it is growing in our hearts, then we can look at the commands. And the commands here are quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We're going to talk about those next. You must be quick to hear. So, I've said before that the pulpit makes a terrible confessional booth. A lot of people are listening. And I'm very glad, you guys. So, it was only about a year and a half ago, I was making a resume and sending it to churches, being like, hey, look, you could have me as your pastor. And people here actually commented, be like, you sounded really honest on your resume. And I was sort of like, because I sort of was like, I wanted to give like an anti-resume along with my resume, be like, oh, here's some good things, but you know, there's a bunch of things you probably should know about me. And one of them at the top of the list on the anti-resume would be, Pastor Matt is not a very good listener. In fact, maybe it'd be like, he's a bad listener. As a pastor, this is a hard thing. It's a hard thing when you're literally supposed to be talking to people all of the time. You could start to think that godliness consists of having the right answers. Well, I went to school, got this fancy seminary degree, so I can tell people, oh, look, hey, in the Greek it says this, blah, blah, blah. And the Bible is so clear on this in so many ways that we need to listen more than we speak. And now I have the particularly dangerous job of talking to you about this. And it's also dangerous because there are certain people out there who, I hope they're listening, and they do need to talk, you know, maybe a lot less. But there's other people out there who need to maybe speak 25% more. We're going to talk about them a little bit too. Because we are commanded to speak the truth in love. There's so many cases where we are supposed to speak. And yet, we must be quick to hear. Now, the book of Proverbs is excellent here because this isn't so much, because there's these two different kinds of people, I can't just say, hey, everybody, you need to talk less, because that's not universally true. But the book of Proverbs paints us a picture of two kinds of people. One is the fool, and the other is the wise person. And we're going to look a little bit about what this fool, what this wise person looks like. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. It's unbelievable that this was written 3,000 years before Facebook was invented. Because this is like, we live in the age of people taking pleasure in expressing their opinions. There's entire media platforms built upon people expressing their opinions. This is the kind of person who, you know, writes in the comments section before they read the article or without reading the article. In fact, there's a proverb. This should be the proverb of every comment section, Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Should write that at the top of every comment section. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding. Now, the converse of this is that a wise person gets more pleasure from understanding than they do from merely expressing their opinion. To understand something is to listen, to search out the truth of something, to ask more questions. And a wise person is someone who gets more from that than merely saying that really witty thing that you can put up on a church sign that sounds really cool. And so we should be cultivating an attitude in our heart where we have more joy in listening, understanding, getting knowledge than we have in just having people listen to us. Our goal is not just to tolerate listening to others, but to enjoy it, to take pleasure in it. Most importantly, being quick to hear is our posture before God. You know, we don't need to teach God anything, but we do need to listen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise instruction. We must be quick to hear. Ultimately, it comes down to our pride. To listen is to give more value to what someone else says than to your own words. To put their needs before you. Now, how can we practically do this? What are the steps? So you're thinking like, boy, maybe I'm not the greatest listener. I find a good test to do it is if you're wondering, if you're sitting there and you're married and you think you're a good listener, ask your spouse if you're a good listener. You're like, I tried to do that, but then I got distracted by something, so I'm not sure what my wife said. Okay, step one, practical steps to be a better listener. Number one is to put your phone away, okay? And this is, confession time again. I remember this one time, like my wife was telling me something and I think it was something. And I don't remember what it was because all of a sudden my phone buzzed and I was thinking, I was kind of expecting something from somebody and I like my wife talking and I'm like, and all of a sudden, she stops talking. And then I look at her. And she's looking at me. And she's looking down at my phone. And I'm thinking, wow, dear, you look beautiful. But that didn't work. God has put you in a place with people. That phone can wait. The phone can wait. People can text you. You can look at it 5 minutes later. But the person that God has put you in that room with, you need to be paying attention to. Take your phone. If you're in conversation, put it on silent. Silence the phone. If you can't silence the phone, take it out. Set it on the ground. Like that. And then jump on it. Okay. I didn't actually do that. I had a backup phone that I was going to smash sometime in a sermon, but I don't have it right now. Rule number two. Put your phone away. That's the same as rule number one, but I figured I needed to say it twice. Three. Don't assume what people mean when they talk to you. Ask for clarification. And we often think that people are like characters in a novel, like we understand them. Sometimes I think, you know, I know what someone is going to say before they're going to say it. I'm already like formulating a response. But we need to understand people. There is nothing better. If you've ever been in a conversation with someone who just asked good questions, you're like, you're talking about this news article and they're like, oh, where did you find that? I've never heard of that guy. Who is he? And asking these things, and it's when it happens, doesn't happen a lot, it's a beautiful thing. So in a conversation with your spouse, be like, oh, what is that? Ask another question. These are things that I need to do better. It's also a good thing, asking for clarification. And I know sometimes, you know, you're in a conversation, because sometimes you're in a conversation with a fool. And being in a conversation with a fool isn't fun, and I'm usually tempted not to listen then. But actually asking questions is a good thing because it makes them realize maybe that their opinions are stupid. Oh, did I say that? I wasn't going to say that word. That their opinions aren't very well thought out. But I think, well, why is this? You know, what's this? What's that news source? Or, and asking questions can kind of reveal that and maybe let them learn something about themselves without you needing to get into an argument. 4, keep eye contact. Again, don't look at your phone, look at them. 5, give verbal cues. This is something my wife taught me, is that just being able to hear everything that they say and regurgitate it back is not loving. Because what is loving is to be listening in a way that gives value to that person, that says to them, I am listening to you, I value what you have to say, and I care. And 6, we listen to people because we understand as Christians that every single person is created in the image of God. And so even if they are the greatest fool in the world, they are created in God's image, and even though they aren't deserving of respect in themselves, they are worth listening to because they are made in God's image. We can give them a moment. We can listen. Next, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. In a world that prizes irony and quick wit, like George Costanza in the old Seinfeld episode, trying to come up with a witty response to the guy who said the ocean just called and it's running out of shrimp. You know, we value the person who's just got that quick wit and he's able to say the right thing with a little bit of humor and irony. We would all be better off if we just took a deep breath. I know I would be. So many of the things I've said were hurtful or unthinking. If I just would have, I might not have said it. I think this goes too for our social media posts. You know, you're just going to share, click share, like we're sharing it, we're saying something. And maybe I need to take a moment. Does this really need to be said? Is it really true? And we're like, oh, you know, this happens like, I don't like Justin Trudeau, so this article's, you know, making Justin look bad. I'm going to share it. And, you know, and sometimes they're true. Sometimes, you know, it's not true. And I just click share because I liked what the point was, like Justin's bad, rather than if this is actually a true statement. We need to, again, put everything we say through the filter of love, which we talked about last week, 1 Corinthians 13, when we speak, slower, we speak the truth with patience, with kindness, with gentleness. We don't just fire off that tongue. Yeah, I cannot say all that stuff. I'll skip that. One of the reasons that so little listening gets done in the world is that there's so much unthinking speech going on. And one of the ways we can help others listen is to say things that matter when we talk. So don't just, you all know the person. You know, there's a type of person that happens maybe in a meeting at work. If they don't say a lot, but when they talk, you listen. It'd all be better if we aim to be that kind of person. All right, on to Proverbs 17. This goes along with it. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit, that's the opposite of a hot spirit, is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Better to keep your mouth shut and let everyone assume you're stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Some of you might need help with this. And what I recommend is that if you have a friend, you have a spouse, tell them, hey, dear, you know I talk too much. You know, we're going to this Christmas party, and I might say this in too much. I give you permission to elbow me in the ribs when I'm talking too much. And that way, they feel free and they can help you out. When I was in seminary, I noticed that when I was in seminary classes, I would often notice that there was a guy in class who was like, ugh, this person just talks. That's so annoying. But then I realized one day that I was just like that person. And so I actually made a little tally chart, and I can only say 3 comments in every class, and I would check them off, and once I reached 3, I was all out, which helped quite a bit. Again, there are some people here who don't need to talk any less. In fact, you might need to talk more. And I would tell you that, you know, you need to speak the truth in love. Don't listen to this sermon and be like, well, now I have permission to be even less, you know, talkative than I was before. Because we are commanded to speak the truth in love. We're commanded in 1 Peter 3:5 to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you to anyone who asks. We are called to share the gospel in all sorts of situations. We must speak. But we can all do better to take a deep breath, to say what's important, and to speak slower. The final command is to be slow to anger. Now, I find that the failure to listen, the tendency to speak too fast without thinking, leads then to speaking words in anger, which can truly be destructive, like George Bailey going and yelling at his child to stop playing piano. These are words that, even when they're said with some truth to them, are sort of like a police officer with a howitzer stopping traffic stops. He's like, I'm gonna keep these people from speeding. Like, it may have some truth to it, but it's just destruction. Like, it's not doing any good at all. Words said in anger are not so much a means where we just need to improve as Christians, but these are things we need to repent of. We need to go to the person and say, I was wrong to say this in anger. I was wrong. Repentance is an emotional thing. I really truly am grieved by my sin. It's a resolution to change. And it's also an unqualified offer of restitution. I'm going to make this right. I don't care what the cost is. I'm not going to blame you because I was wrong. In the end, we're called to have, as Christians, quick ears and a slow tongue. We should be listening as passionately to those we care about as, imagine this for a second. You're in like, this is like a movie scenario, but you're on a jet plane. The pilot and the co-pilot, they both die, and they put you in the cockpit and be like, you gotta land this plane. And the tower comes on, be like, hey, I'm going to help you all, you not die in a terrible fiery death. And at that moment, you're listening in a way that you might not have listened in a long time. You're like, I am going to hear every word, and I'm going to listen as carefully, and I'm going to make sure everything is perfectly clear. And so when you go home and you're in a conversation now, think, I am listening to the person I love like I am going to die in a fiery plane crash. You know, I've been with people when they've been close to death. You know, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes people are still lucid, they're still talking. And in those last moments, all the loved ones are around. And they're listening to every word. They're looking for some sign, and they're paying so close attention to every word. And one day, the words you say to your loved ones, the words that you hear are going to be your last. Speak the right words and listen, listen. Treasure every morsel. I'm going to end with a prayer, and this is just a prayer blessing for our ears and for our tongue. Oh Lord God, grant our ears to be quick to listen. Open them first to receive your word, your implanted word of the gospel, so Jesus Christ might grow and be full in us. Humble our ears to listen to your truth. And not just be listeners of your truth, but to be doers of your word. Bless our ears to listen attentively to our spouse, to our kids, to every person created in God's image that God puts in our path. Help us to look into their eyes and to love them by listening. O God, restrain our tongues before it sets the world ablaze. Help us to take a deep breath before we speak, but still to speak the truth in love according to your word. Help us to fight the urge to speak without purpose, merely to say our own opinion. Help each one of us not to be the fool who just wants people to hear his opinion, but grant us the wisdom to know when to stay silent and when we must speak the truth in love. O Lord, bless our ears to be quick, and bless our tongues to be slow. In Jesus' name.